So let's start by talking about the actual creative process behind Celestial Real Estate. Essentially, this was passed from one artist to the next, right? It started with Nick Miller, who did a lot of the paintwork in the gallery, who passed it to fiber artist Celeste Butler, who passed it to musician Derek Higgins before you started the choreography part. So can you kind of summarize like the actual creative process and what the project looked like when it got into your hands?
Yes, this kind of process is brand new to me, and I'm very excited about it. I would liken the process to an exquisite corpse drawing, but where you fold a piece of paper into thirds or fourths, and someone does the top panel, and then they unfold it, and then they continue the drawing from there, and then they unfold it again, and sort of the final product is a product of everybody's contribution. And so for this, the first panel, so to speak, was Nick. And Nick paints with traditional paint, but also duct tape. And he painted this fabulous interior of the Generator Space Gallery on Benton Street. And so when he was done, or at least his drawings and renderings were done, we passed that to Celeste. And Celeste Butler made these exquisite costumes. And then from her ideas and Nick's ideas, we passed those things off to Derek. And then he was able to think about some sound composition. All of the artists got the same prompt, which is to think about sunlight and the way sunlight is in relationship to their work. Or if they hadn't thought about that before, how might it affect their work? And so there's a thread thematically, but as a choreographer, I'm the last person in the sequence of artists who are contributing to the project. So to be honest, I haven't even started the choreography yet. That begins at the end of this week. But it has been freeing and exciting for me because typically a choreographer will start out with movement and everything will flow from there. So you begin with choreographic ideas, you begin with movement themes, and then a concept emerges, and then you commission the visual artists, the costume designers, the musicians, and say, this is what I want you to do in service of this final vision. And usually that's the way I've always worked, and there's usually great results from that. But I think, you know, specifically in the pandemic and COVID, I knew we couldn't all be in the room together working and collaborating and kind of fine-tuning what our final vision would be as collaborators. So I just said to each individual, you start and make something that feels good on its own, and then when you're done, we'll have the next artist look at that and work in response to that and then make something that stands on its own. So I don't know what the final product is going to be, but I am excited to see where I fit as a mover. When I walk in the room, I will be choreographing in relationship to the lines on the wall, to the sequence that I'm wearing in my costume, to the sounds that Derek made. And that will sort of determine what the final product is.
So it's a more traditional gallery installation accompanied by a series of live performances. You said you haven't started the choreography process yet. Does that mean that the performances are improvised?
They will not be fully improvised as far as I can tell at this point. I love improvisation as a starting place. When we're thinking about sunlight, and we're thinking about how it moves through the room, we'll respond to that physically. We'll be thinking about sunlight on our body and how it creates heat. And that might sort of stimulate some improvisational games that we play in the space. But then over time, we shape it and we do choreograph it and things are set.
Have you done a project like this before in terms of, you're not going in blind exactly, but it seems to be more spontaneous maybe than things you've worked on in the past?
I have an improvisational background. I think a lot of musicians could identify with this, which is you just are in an improvisational practice, and then the time you go on stage is just a version of the practice that you do. And so I will rely on that, I think, in this process. However, I do love choreography. I love setting things. I love dancing with my partner, Galen, and he and I will come to agreement, and we will make movements that are either in unison or fast, or he does something, I do something, and where we play off of each other. And he'll be driving in from California next week. And then we'll just work intensely every day up until the show. And then what we have by the show is what it will be. But he's a very experienced dancer and improviser. And I'm just confident with all the artists who've come before us and what they've made, that we're just going to walk into something that's already strong. And it will be up to us to sort of figure out where movement lives in all of these elements that have already been made.
So the show that was at the Generator Space right before this was Alluvium, which also deals with our relationship to natural resources and the environment. I know that this show, you had the concept before Alluvium was in the gallery, but that being said, did you take any inspiration from it?
I was inspired by Alluvium quite a bit. I'm always inspired by shows that raise questions around ownership of natural resources or what we understand as common goods or what we might expect would be accessible to all humans. And we know the reality of that is much more complicated. And so I think both shows call into question, you know, who are these natural resources for and who has the power over them and who does not? I went down a rabbit hole of research prior to starting this project around people who are owning real estate, you know, like actual parcels of land, either whether it's on the moon or a different planet or actually on the sun. There was one particular story of a woman in Spain, and some loophole through the notary system of Spain was able to get a deed to certain parcels of land on the sun. She wanted to charge taxes on the rays. She tried to sell part of the sun on eBay. Anyhow, there's like a whole back, there's a fascinating story that to ridiculous levels, but I also think she was of an artist's mind in the sense that she was raising some serious questions around proprietorship, colonialism, things like that. And I'll just say this translates a little bit to my process in the sense that I'm interested in the idea of authorship and ownership of intangible things like talent and ownership of energy and ownership of especially time-based art forms like dance or like music, or even this painting, which will be torn down in a matter of weeks, which will no longer exist. So this sort of ephemera property is fascinating to me. And I think that by calling myself an organizer, I'm not curator, or this is not a property of Lauren Simpson dance kind of production. You know, we get to all sort of collectively own or collectively not own whatever this final product is.
That's a nice transition into my next question, which is how do you choreograph something with such an ephemeral quality like sunlight?
Yeah. Well, choreography is a mystery. I think it's very hard to describe what it is that we do with our bodies as the medium. We have lots of choreographic tools that we use. Often we start with improvisation and then we pull what we like and then we shape it and those things get memorized. For sunlight in particular, as our sort of guiding principle and theme, I'm looking at it in two ways. One is the visible light spectrum. You can only see sunlight if it's been filtered through something. So we kind of see it through shadows, or we see it through dust, or we see it through water. Or in this case, in the Generator Space Gallery, there are these large storefront picture windows, and the light will go through those windows and cast these shadows, starting on the west wall, and then it moves along the floor and up to the east wall. And sort of these shapes and angles that are created in the space will govern how it is we move. So that's the visible side. And then on the felt side, part of the spectrum you can't see is radiant heat, but we can all feel that. And it can be quite powerful and quite strong and dangerous and joyful and all those things. But those are some of the felt qualities of the sun will also sort of inform our improvisation. But by the end, we'll have choreographed some of those ideas into what becomes the final show.
Your last major project was Moving Truck, which was that also in partnership with Amplify, first of all?
Well, I was a recipient of the Drew Billings Performing Artist Grant through Amplify. And so, yes, those funds helped me create that project.
Okay. And that kind of centered on performances essentially on people's front lawns here in Omaha, mm-hmm. right? So what is it like to go from choreographing such kind of an experimental piece like that to choreographing for a more traditional indoor gallery space?
It feels really good. I feel like there's an appetite now for people to go to events. I understand that there's hesitancy around it as well. This particular project, you know, you can view it from the outside, masked, you can be inside, possibly, but most likely people will just be standing outside the sidewalk and looking in through the windows and watching it. So it feels like this middle ground event that isn't quite a full-fledged pack the theater, but it isn't Moving Truck either, where we brought dance and performance and to people's front lawns and sort of brought it to their houses, which was so special and such a fun way to be creating in the very center of the pandemic. But now that we're coming out the other end, it feels really good to be in a space and to invite people into your house, so to speak, and let them peek in on what you're doing.
And I know Derek Higgins, who did the music for Moving Truck, also did the music for Celestial Real Estate. So are the other artists previous collaborators as well?
No, they're brand new. I cold called Celeste Butler, and she was gracious enough to jump on this project. I knew I wanted a diversity of voices in media and ways of approaching work to be involved in this process. So I sort of sought people out based on that. Nick Miller is someone who is also a recent transplant, like myself, to Omaha. So we sort of knew each other through some common folks, but he has a different approach as well. So I was just trying to kind of bring together maybe some unlikely pairings. And that's sort of how I went about looking for collaborators.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me.